going to have at lunch our CEO, Shelly Hegan, will be there, and she'll be doing about a 45-minute talk, and there'll be an opportunity for folks to ask questions and find out, you know, what's happening with Planned Parenthood, with our new health center, and with what's going on nationally and how that's going to affect us locally. So that's at lunchtime, about 1 o'clock. And then earlier, before that, our first panel is going to be Uplifted Voices, and we're going to be partnering with Out Hudson, Columbia County Sanctuary Movement, and the Reach Center. And this is just kind of to bring other voices into the conversation and let those folks be able to talk a little bit about how we're going to move forward together in this new, you know, world that we're living in. And then our last one that Planned Parenthood is involved in is the Clergy for Choice panel, and that's going to be three local clergy folks coming to talk a little bit about how you balance that feeling of, you know, your life in your belief of God or any sort of Christianity or any sort of religion, and how that parlays into feeling supportive of reproductive rights and abortion, and how those kind of fit together and how people feel about that. And this is a good chance to ask questions that maybe you wouldn't feel comfortable asking your own clergy person.
And who are the clergy people?
It is Rabbi Dennis Ross from Concerned Clergy for Choice, Catherine Schuyler. She's out of a Catskill, I think it's Catskill Methodist Church, and Reverend Singletary. She's in a Overton's ministry in Hudson.
Yes, she does a show on WGXC every other Wednesday too.
Yeah, she's terrific. We love having her with us. She's very supportive.
Yes. And this is the second or third year you've done this?
The second year.
Second year. And so how well did it go last year?
It went better than we could have ever even imagined. I mean, from the planning side, where it was just really a bunch of enthusiastic novices pulling something really big together and working well together, I think everybody felt really good about what we were able to do. I feel like we really accomplished our mission. It was meant to be very accessible, as we're doing this year. It's something that anybody can attend. There's not a high price barrier. We intentionally kept the cost of the concert low. It sold out immediately, but we kept that low. We were very successful in sponsorships last year, and this year local businesses gave a lot of money and resources to help make everything happen. And then we raised, last year we had a postcard show where each postcard was $50 and we hid the names of the artists. It was curated by Kristen Dodge of September Gallery and Dawn Breeze from Instar Lodge. And we had over 400 pieces of art. And between that, a raffle, Aaron Dyer of
Buchan Gase?
Pardon?
Of Buchan Gase?
Yeah.
That's their band?
Well, she's coming. Oh, sorry. No, mm-hmm. I'm getting confused. We had a little cookout at Rivertown. We had a bunch of small things. $5 for a ticket to the dance party, and we raised over $18,000.
That's great.
Well, yeah, and it wasn't even a big goal.
I know. This year we're on track to raise a lot more money than that. Thankfully, the national... that concert sold out so quickly. It was incredible.
Yeah.
So has this been the case since 2016? Are you getting more support? And it seemed like in the election this past year on the Democratic side, women really turned out and made the difference in the Hudson Valley and across the country, it seemed like.
We absolutely raised more money than we ever have before. But also, you know, to Jamie's point, we've had more people come out of the woodwork who just said, you know, maybe I don't have a lot of money, but I have a lot of talent, or I have a lot of time, we've had people come to us just, here, I want to help you. What can I do? And it's been incredible. Jamie's entire group is volunteers. To pull together a festival of this size takes an enormous commitment, an enormous time and energy. And it's incredible. We've never seen anything like it before.
Well, and part of what we wanted to do was really make it specific to Hudson. We wanted this to be about our community, because the more we think about our Planned Parenthood and our community, the less likely we are to let it go. So not everybody who's attending the festival is necessarily a patient of Upper Hudson Planned Parenthood at this point. Maybe they were at some point earlier in their lives. And maybe they won't be, or maybe their son or daughter might be. The point is that we have a relationship as our community. We have a relationship to our healthcare, and that was particularly under threat last year when we had a congressman who said that he would support Planned Parenthood, and then
his votes were a little different.
When he was in office. And so, you know, I think even when we have an incoming congressperson who is more likely to stand behind a vote for
Satisfied with his statements, and you believe he's not going to vote the opposite way?
He's been very supportive of Planned Parenthood.
We're talking about Antonio Delgado, the representative elect, and John Faso, the outgoing representative. So you're hopeful about the new congressional?
Incredibly hopeful.
But it doesn't mean that we can't stop showing our support. Mm-hmm. I mean, we still have to show up and show how much this means.
And there are still a lot of threats that regardless of how the election turned out for us, there are still a lot of threats looming out there for us.
So the Supreme Court, obviously.
Supreme Court,
probably
there's some
the
Title X
right?
money and fighting around that. There's the gag rule. There's a lot of things that we're still going to be grappling with, in the next 2 years.
I guess the new center is sort of the centerpiece of this weekend, or I assume you're going to get a lot of questions about it.
And we're very excited to unveil and talk about it. Obviously, it's not open yet. It's still under construction.
When does it?
We're hoping, end of January is what we're hoping. But, with contractors, we're not quite sure that'll be.
There's always delays.
Yeah, it's always delayed. That's our hope, is that it'll be end of January. So we're very excited about that. But we're thrilled to share it with the community and let them know, we're going to be downtown. We're going to be accessible to the whole area now. It's a wonderful new health center. It's going to be beautiful.
Well, one of the most amazing parts of the new health center, there are so many wonderful parts about it. It'll have extended hours. Mm-hmm. It's offering more services. It's walkable. Yeah. So where it is currently on Fairview can be difficult for people to get to. It'll be easier to get to.
It'll be a community space, which is terrific, that the current health center doesn't have, that we can have meetings in, have youth groups. Anyone who wanted to come in and use our facility will be able to do that once we're up and running.
And one of the statistics that has really shocked me, and doesn't actually shock me when I really think about it, but it's 60% of people who visit Planned Parenthood in a given year, it'll be the only healthcare provider they see that year, the only reported healthcare provider they see that year. And so making it as accessible as possible is really key to the mission of Upper Hudson Planned Parenthood.
Absolutely.
And so having that new health center is really...
It seems like it's sort of a safer space overall. I mean, the protesters have their First Amendment rights and can do, certainly can do, everyone can have their say. But it seems like it's going to be set up so that people arriving will feel a little safer. Is that?
Yeah, the parking lot will be in the back of the building. I don't know if you're familiar with how it is, kind of in a little V.
It's on that triangle.
Little triangle. And so, where the protesters may or may not show up, they won't be able to go on the private property of that parking lot. So the patients will be able to get in the building without having to deal with that, which is a little bit better than the situation that we have now out on Fairview
Avenue. Did they buy that house across the street?
They're across the street and right next door.
And, yeah,
so there's two different ones that are right around us. So this will be much more accessible to the patients and feel a lot better.
And it's also a little more anonymous because there are other things in that building.
Absolutely.
So if you're parking and going into that building, you're not necessarily going to Planned Parenthood.
Right.
And you're basically surrounded by businesses there now. So it's not like private houses or people can even buy in or something like that.
I'm sure they'll find their way, but we're happy about this new location. It's been a long time coming.
There's a new youth center that's part of it too. Is that
there's a youth organization, I think, going to be in that building. I don't know if that's completely set yet, but I know that there's a couple of. I think there's like a hairstylist and a youth organization, and so it's a terrific opportunity for young people to be in the building and Jamie said, an anonymous value, especially if you're young and you want to keep that confidentiality.
What else? What other issues do you think people will be talking about this weekend? I guess a lot of this is, you know, people meeting each other and talking about local issues.
I really hope they'll want to talk about the passing of RHA in New York State. That's a really exciting thing.
That's the Reproductive Health Act.
Yeah, we've been trying to pass it for many years now. With the change in the New York State Senate, there's a real good chance that that's something that may happen, and I think that would be a nice win and a long time coming for a lot of our supporters.
Are you getting, are the legislative leaders telling you they're going to make that a priority?
We're hoping so. That's what we're hearing, but you know, you never know until it really happens. So we're very hopeful and excited that, you know, in the first at least quarter of the year, that's something that will happen.
Well, so Upper Hudson Planned Parenthood hosts a lot of other, events throughout the year. And one of the things we did last year was the lobby day.
Yep.
And I went to that and sat in and listened to the RHA vote in the assembly, and it was infuriating. But it's been interesting for a long time. It hasn't been able, it passes in the assembly, and then it hasn't been able to get past the Senate. So there's a good opportunity.
It's never actually come to the floor for a vote in the Senate.
They wouldn't bring it to the floor, right?
Right, yeah, they wouldn't even bring it. So we know with the majority that it'll definitely get to the floor this year. So
And it's a solid majority. I mean, the Democrats flipped 8 seats. Mm-hmm. So there's a margin for error there now, I guess.
Yeah, we're very hopeful. Very hopeful.
Are there other things that you're hopeful about coming up?
I also think the Comprehensive Contraceptive Coverage Act is another one we're trying to pass. And I think, you know, thinking outside of just Planned Parenthood, we want to pass GENDA this year.
What is that?
GENDA is the bill about transgender health folks. And so that's one that's also stalled in the Senate. So there's a lot of legislation out there that is we've been waiting to talk about. So I think that's one of the things. I'm sure people will have a lot of questions about the Supreme Court and what would happen if Roe gets overturned, if that were to happen. I think that's something that Shelley will talk a lot about in her conversation. I think that's a big question for people.
It's not so much a problem in New York State because that won't change things, but then you'll have other people coming to New York State.
There'll be a lot
Ohio
of states that will automatically, abortion will become illegal if that were to happen, if Roe were to be overturned, because it'll go back to the state. So each state will get to decide, you know, what their laws are. And so, yeah, we'll be safe in New York, and especially if we pass the Reproductive Health Act, we'll be even better equipped. But yeah, there'll be people probably traveling to states that have abortion access. And I think the biggest thing that we talk a lot about is, you know, abortion, Roe is really important, and it absolutely is, but access is also equally important. And if you don't, in some of these states that are restricting it so much, they already don't have access. So Roe is not even high on their list of, like, this is the worst thing that can happen. If you have to drive 6 hours and stay overnight, and you have all these barriers that you can't possibly meet as someone who didn't have any means, you already have no access to abortion. And 90% of the counties in this country do not have an abortion provider. So for a lot of folks, it's already traveling. It's already taking a day off of work. It's already, you know, a financial burden that they can't reach. So there's a lot around abortion access that's going to come up in the next couple of years.
And it's been, for me personally, it's been really interesting to be able to have these kinds of conversations with Shelley. So I'm so excited that she's coming to Hudson and having that conversation with a larger crowd.
She's involved a lot with Planned Parenthood Federation of America, so she gets a lot of that information from a national, you know, viewpoint, and she'll be able to share, you know, what Planned Parenthood's going to do, what our response is going to be if and when Roe gets overturned, and how we're going to support these other states, and how we're going to support other folks getting access to abortion, because it's really going to be something that's going to come up, I think, sooner rather than later.
And if you just tuned in, we're speaking with Catherine Bruno from Upper Hudson Planned Parenthood and Jamie Israello, who's you're the organizer of the rally in the Valley.
Yeah.
And what else do people need to know about if they're coming or if they are thinking about coming?
Well, so that lunch that we were just talking about, it's also a free lunch with food provided by Wonder Bar Bistro and Homemade Hudson. And then we'll go right from that into the Stitch-In. And then there'll be the clergy for choice. So there's just so much going on Saturday at Hudson Hall from 11 to 5.
And the full list can be found on the website, rallyinthevalley.org. So if you want to check out all of the workshops and information, it's right on their website.
We also have an incredible raffle. So we put out a call. Actually, Sarah Burks of Minna on Warren Street put out a call to local businesses for raffle items, and we have an abundance of goods for our raffle, and raffle tickets will be available at Hudson Hall Friday and Saturday, and then we'll be doing the drawing on Saturday night at the after party. And there are some really cool things in there. Tickets to Jazz Fest at Hudson Hall and Hudson B&B and a bunch of really great gift certificates to restaurants and clothing stores.
The support from the community has been incredible. If you happen to go by any of the things and you see that Circle Rally in the Valley logo, we gave everyone who sponsored a logo to put in their window so you mm-hmm. could kind of walk around and see all the support from the local community.
Big Hudson tradition of signs and windows related to certain events.
They've been incredibly supportive.
Give out the Planned Parenthood website address too.
Ours is Upper Hudson, so it's uhpp.org.
But the website for the event the rally is
rallyinthevalley.org.
Right. Anything else people need to know, or do you need to get tickets in advance, or
it's ideal if you get tickets in advance. We won't turn anybody away who doesn't, but it's on the rallyinthevalley.org website. There's a link for Eventbrite tickets, so that helps us just to know how many people to plan for. So we have the right number of chairs and
food.
And you think a lot of people are coming? You get that sense at this point?
Yeah, we have a lot of people registered.
48 hours away?
Yeah, yep. We have a nice... And I just want to do a big shout out for the volunteers. I mean, they're really, really incredible people who are just say, okay, what can I do? You want me to drive over here and pick this up and show up at this place and lift these things? And...
Yeah, I mean, the people who designed all the material best. Yeah. I mean, incredible designers just lent so much energy and time to this project. Just, it's been unbelievable.
Yeah, they're really incredible. Mm-hmm. This is the second year, and they were really instrumental. And also... just Rivertown, the amount of time and effort that they have put into, and Hudson Hall, mm-hmm. The amount of time and effort they've put into pulling this off is really, really incredible. And I just feel so grateful to be able to work with such dedicated people. Nobody's complaining. Nobody's mm-hmm. frustrated or, you know, yelling at each other. Everyone's just like in it for the cause and to feel good about what they're doing. One of my favorite moments from last year was we had this hot pink dance party at Hudson Lodge, and afterwards there was one of the DJs who was in her early 20s, and she was packing up her equipment after the show, and I just heard her say, you know, I DJed for Planned Parenthood tonight. I just feel really good about myself. And it just felt like, you know, that might have been someone who couldn't have, you know, given $1,000 to mm-hmm. be a part of the leadership circle, or, you know, been involved in more traditional development ways, but that was someone who now has a relationship with Upper Hudson Planned Parenthood and feels really good about how they were able to contribute. That is the goal. Like, that to me is the essence of Rally in the Valley.
Yeah, well, that is that's all great. And we're going to try, if you can't make it in person, we're going to try to stream. You guys are going to try to stream Shelley Hagen's talk, which is at 1 o'clock. Is that right?
1 o'clock.
And then if you can't make it too, you can come out. If you can't make it during the day, you can come out in the evening to Spotty Dog Books and Ale at 7 p.m. for the volume reading series. And then what time is the after party at Back Bar begin?
And that starts at 8 o'clock. And then there are also a handful of places like Oak is offering a special pizza for the weekend, that if you go there, all of the profits from that pizza will go to Upper Hudson Planned Parenthood. And actually the Record Shop on Warren Street is offering 10% of profits for this weekend.
John Doe Books.
Yep.
John Doe Books and Records. He does a show on our station too. You can get discounts on some of the businesses on Warren Street if you're shopping in between or afterwards or before. So you can make a big full day in Hudson, I guess.
And I think you don't have to come to every single one of them. I think that's, you know, if there was just one that you had time for, you only had 2 hours and you wanted to pop in and do one workshop or two, that's fine too. You don't have to commit the entire day to being there if you can't.
All right. Are we missing anything? Did we forget anything?
No, just if it's okay, a little shout out to some of the sponsors. Yeah, Basilica Hudson, Ben Gable Savories, Hudson Hall, Face Stockholm is actually, they're offering free mini makeovers. Ooh. Or no, maybe not free, so very low cost mini makeovers with profits going to Upper Hudson Planned Parenthood this weekend. Foreland Catskill has been a really big donor. Hawthorne Valley Association, Hudson Wine Merchants, Hudson Clothier, Lily and Lou, Local 111, Minna, Moto, Oak Pizzeria, Pampered Pooch. I just want to say, like, it was, I had the opportunity. It was a big effort to, you know, reach out to all the different businesses. But I had the opportunity to, like, walk into a lot of the stores on Warren Street again this year. And I just love when I said, like, we're doing this thing with Planned Parenthood, and people say, okay, what do you need? Like, where do I, how do I,
how
just
do I make,
yeah, how do I, do you need a check? Do you need a, yeah, it was just, people are just so, dedicated. So, and then Rivertown, as I've mentioned, September Gallery, Spotty Dog, Sideshow Clothing, Village Common, Walnut Hill, and WM Farmer and Sons. And there's also a restaurant in Boston who just reached out to us. I don't even know how they found us, called The Pharmacy, that they're doing a special bowl on Thursdays where they're donating profits to Upper Hudson Planned Parenthood, which is super cool.
Yeah, that's great.
If you're listening in Boston today, you can go there and contribute to this event in Hudson.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, that's great. So, again, it's rallyinthevalley.org, is that right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So go there for more information or if you missed something. But thank you, Jamie Israello.
Yep.
And Catherine Bruno from Upper Hudson Planned Parenthood. It's Rally in the Valley Friday night. The National sold out, but Saturday there's workshops all day. And then the volume reading series at 7 at Spotty Dog Books and Ale, and the after party at Back Bar at 8 p.m., right?
Yeah, and raffle tickets available tomorrow during the day and Saturday.
All day.
All right.
Yeah.
So have fun in Hudson this weekend, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for coming out on the WGXC Morning Show.
This is Marina Abramovic, and you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM Accra Creative Community Radio.
Beautiful.
Have a good day.
On Silent Night Hudson 2018. In partnership with Wave Farm, Phil Klein's Unsilent Night returns to Hudson for a third year. Led by Phil Klein himself, participants gather at WGXC's Hudson Studio, 169 Warren Street, inside the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson at Warren and 4th Streets, entrance on 4th Street. Participants bring a radio along to become part of the moving orchestra of sounds that engages Hudson's lesser-traveled alleys and enclaves. All are invited to participate. To do so, arrive to the WGXC Hudson Studio, First Presbyterian Church, no later than 6:45 p.m. with a boombox or smartphone with external speakers. Go to unsilentnight.com/participate for more details. Unsilent Night, an original composition by Phil Klein, written specifically to be heard outdoors in the month of December. Each participant gets one of four tracks of music. Together, all four tracks comprise Unsilent Night. Visit unsilentnight.com for more information.
You are listening to 90.7 FM WGXC, the local hangout of the airwaves, Greene and Columbia counties.
Welcome to Radio Survivor. We're here for the love of radio and sound. My name is Paul Riesmandel.
And I'm Eric Klein. And Paul Riesmandel, welcome back to these airwaves. You took a trip. You went to Brazil.
Thanks. Yes, I did. And I went to Brazil on vacation, but I had to put on my best Jennifer Waits hat.
Jennifer Waits is famous around these parts for visiting a radio station.
Whenever she travels.
Rain or shine, no matter where she goes on planet Earth, she will go and physically visit a radio station and talk to a person who works there and bring us on radiosurvivor.com or this year podcast will bring us a bit of
a tour.
That's what we call it.
Yeah, a tour.
A portrait.
I have to say that if if Jennifer Waits is the sheriff around these parts, I'm a mere deputy. I'm a mere first out, just fresh out of the academy deputy here. But I only did attend and go to one radio station.
You have a portrait of one radio station from a small city in Brazil.
Small city by Brazilian standards. Mm-hmm. The city is São Bernardo do Campo. The city itself is about 900,000 people. So, again, small city by Brazilian standards, uh-huh. A large city by American standards. And it's actually in the general region of Sao Paulo, which is the largest city in Brazil. And there are several smaller cities, kind of satellite cities. And so it's in that region. And I visited Radio Paraty, which is a community radio station there. And I was able to visit because of a friend of Radio Survivor, Alvaro Burns, who we've talked to before on the show about a year and a half ago. He was on to talk about the decline of AM broadcasting in Brazil. But Alvaro is a community radio broadcaster and activist. He is also a podcaster. And so I had an opportunity to meet up with him at Radio Paraty, get a little tour of the station, and then sit down and talk with him and learn more about what he does, why he does it. And I think in so doing, we get kind of a portrait of what community radio is like in Brazil. And I think this is important because for us to broaden our view, you know, being here in the United States, so much of our focus is on the U.S. And it sometimes can feel like, you know, community radio is only here in the U.S. And we know that's not at all true. And there's so many parallels, I think, in particular between Brazil and the U.S. in general and at this time. I mean, Brazil is an enormous country. You know, it's the most populous country in South America. I believe it's the fifth largest country worldwide. It's, you know, it is very urban. In many cases, it is also industrialized, and it has a well-developed media system. Also, though, at this moment in time, Brazil has elected a far-right leader to take over the presidency coming this January, Jair Bolsonaro.
And 2019.
Yeah, coming up in 2019. And this is a popularly elected leader, but who has strong ties to the military. And in many ways, I think, looks like a Donald Trump. There are important differences, but sort of the nature of Bolsonaro's messaging and his tough on crime and other sorts of positions, far right positions, should seem very familiar to many of us here in the United States. And I think it's a moment in which community radio, podcasting, and alternative forms of media are going to become very important in Brazil. And Brazil, of course, has a history of military dictatorship, which was in power in the 1960s, 1970s through to 1982. So at that time, you know, it's a pre-internet, and there was not community radio. You know, and there was a much more of a lockstep and lockdown between the commercial media system and the military dictatorship. And it's sort of a different environment now. And of course, at the moment, there is not a dictatorship in Brazil. And no one can predict and say that there will be a dictatorship coming in 2019. But many people there have concerns.
Within recent memory of the people in that country, yeah. You know, many people alive and many people not alive. They have a memory of the dictatorship.
So. Yeah, exactly. So,
fears coming back.
But at this time as well, though, there is podcasting, there's community radio, there's broadcasting, which sits outside of these of the mainstream systems that you know the large broadcasters, which again tend to look a lot like what we have here in the United States.
Well, I'm glad you had a chance to visit with Alvaro, our friend in Brazil, and I'm looking forward to hearing the interview.
So I'm sitting here in Radio Paraty, here in São Bernardo do Campo, in Brazil. With me is Alvaro Burns. You produce the podcast.
A Hora do Cafezinho.
Do Cafezinho. Working on my Portuguese here, but slowly.
so great to be able to come here and visit your community radio station.
Yeah, it's great.
So I want to talk about the station. I want to talk a little bit about what you do. So Parati FM, what it is, a community radio station.
Yeah.
And you have 25 watts of power.
That's it.
So about, do you know about how many people you serve or can hear you maybe?
They say it's like a 1 kilometer uh-huh. radius, but it's more. We get like a good part of the city. We get Santo André, mm-hmm. another city. I don't know how much people. Here in our town, we have almost 1 million people.
Mm-hmm.
But we have 5 stations. And some parts of the city, we kind of clash in the air.
I see.
But we have